I think I covered it all. And I think it's time now where we can get to the God's Word. Colossians chapter 3. And I'll begin reading at verse 22. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, for how practical it is. Lord, you want us to understand the gospel and how it has made us a new person in Jesus Christ. And as new people, it will change the way that we live in our homes. It will change the way that we interact with our spouses, with our children, but it's also going to change the way that we work. And so please, God, speak to us this morning about how we can carry ourselves in our workplaces or in our homes as we do our chores or whatever we do, Lord, that we might bring honor and praise and glory to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we are in a section of Scripture where the Apostle Paul, he's giving practical application to how the gospel changes us. And so again, he's been reiterating over and over again to these Colossian people that the gospel has made you new. It has transformed you into a new creature in Christ, where you no longer are like the old man, the old self. You've been made into a new man. There's a new self on the inside that God is raising up within us that should change the way that we interact with each other. And so it changes the way that we interact with each other here at church. It's going to change the way that husbands and wives are going to talk to each other, the way that we're going to carry each other and the roles that we have in our home. It's going to change the way that I parent my kids, the way that I talk with them, the way that I discipline them. And it's also supposed to change the way that they talk to me and the way that they respond to discipline. But it's also going to change the way that we work. And so the gospel is very practical. The gospel is very practical, and Paul wants these people to know that it changes the way they just do everyday, normal life. It changes the way we do normal life. So how is it the gospel makes a difference to us? So here this morning, we're going to talk about the master-slave relationship in the first century, and then we're going to try to bridge the gap into today and see how these verses apply to us today. And so this morning, it's possible for us to estimate, looking back to the first century, that there were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. That was probably half of the people in the Roman Empire were slaves during Paul's day. And not every case was as awful, not every case of slavery was as awful as the slavery that we had in our country 150 years ago, but it is certain that most of the slaves during Paul's day were considered to be common things. They weren't really viewed as people. They were kind of like tools. And when the tool had outlived its usefulness, it could just be thrown out. And so many of the people that were slaves during this time, they would have just been thrown out when they were no longer serviceable. Most of the work during that time was done by slaves. And so even doctors and lawyers then were household slaves. And so if you owned slaves, you didn't have to do anything because there were so many slaves in the Roman Empire. And Paul does not make it his purpose here to dismantle the institution of slavery. That's not what he's aiming at. That's not why he's writing. So he doesn't condemn it here, nor does he condone the practice of slavery. He's just addressing people where they are. And so if they found themselves in a home as a slave or as a master, there was something here for them. But Paul knows that when he writes this and he sends this off to this church, that there will be masters and slaves hearing this at the same time. And he does expect the gospel of Jesus Christ to be applied to the relationships that they have with one another. And so slaves needed to be able to hear, and so did masters, that these people that were called slaves during this time were not lesser people. They were not lesser people. They were brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And so the gospel has torn down the barriers of this world, making one people for God. And so in Galatians chapter 3, Paul makes it clear that in Christ, there's no longer male, female, slave, free, Jew, barbarian, Greek. All people have these identities that have been stripped away from them in Christ. They have been made one people for God. But we still have various roles in this world that we need to fulfill. And so Paul is simply looking to help Christians in Colossae live out their faith in whatever situation they find themselves in. However, this is not the only place in Scripture where Paul addresses slavery. And so I've made reference a few times that the book of Ephesians and Colossians are very similar. And so if you read those side by side, you're going to notice a lot of the same teaching. Paul is even going to use a lot of the same language, the same structure as he goes through these two books. And so they kind of balance one another. As a matter of fact, Paul teaches in Ephesians about slaves and slaveholders. He teaches about husbands and wives and how they interact with each other. He talks about children. So a lot of the same things in Colossians are there in Ephesians because he wrote them at the same time. And they were sent out with the same messengers carrying them to various churches in the Roman Empire. Well, there was another letter that was carried at the same time as well, and that was a letter to Philemon. You know, it's kind of an overlooked letter from time to time. It's just one chapter. It's pretty short, but it is addressed to one man who actually was a member of the church in Colossae, the man named Philemon. That's why it's named that. It was addressed to him. He had a slave named Onesimus. And apparently what happened is that Onesimus stole something, did something wrong in the house of Philemon, took something from this man, and fled. He did not know the Lord. He just ran away, trying to get away from his master. And along his journey, somewhere, he came across Paul, and he heard the gospel, okay? He heard the gospel, and he believed it. And now Paul is writing a letter back to Philemon telling him, I don't want you to receive him back as a slave. I want you to know he is a brother in Christ. He does everything short of telling Philemon to release this man to give him the opportunity to make the choice himself. And so Philemon would have been here listening to this and would have been receiving a letter from Paul personally talking about how slaves and masters are to interact with each other. And Paul makes it clear that he wants Philemon to be able to release Onesimus. And he says, if he owes you anything, charge it to my account. And just know, Philemon, you owe me a lot in Christ. And so he's doing everything he can to persuade Philemon to turn Onesimus loose. And so Onesimus was actually one of the people who delivered this letter. He was coming home with it. He was in this band, this group of people bringing these letters back, and here Philemon is going to be here sitting here waiting for him. And so Paul has slavery on the front burner of his mind, and he is not condoning it in that letter to Philemon. And another place, in 1 Timothy, Paul writes about enslavers. He calls them enslavers of men. He says, we know that they do not inherit the kingdom of God. And so Paul is not for slavery, but in this letter, he's not looking to condone it or to condemn it. He just wants to address these people right where they find themselves. This issue of slavery would have been on the front burner of every home in our country in the 1860s. But it really is no longer a domestic problem because it was addressed during that time. But there is a lot here, though, for us that applies to employee relationships. Many of you all work somewhere. Some of you all are stay-at-home moms. You stay at your house. Some of you volunteer in various places in our community. This all applies to you. And so just because you might not have a traditional job this morning, you need to know that this passage has something to say. God has something to say to you this morning about how you conduct yourself in whatever workplace or whatever environment you find yourself in each and every day, because we spend a lot of our time in our workplaces. We're gone from our homes a lot, or we're gone doing these duties. So wherever you find yourself this morning, know that God has something for you. All of life is service to Christ. I think we would all agree with that, right? Everything that you do is to be done in service to Jesus Christ. And so everything that you are, this is your identity, everything that you are is now to be viewed in relationship to Jesus. And so the most important thing about each person here who knows Jesus this morning, the most important thing about you is who you are in Christ. It's not about where you work. It's not about what home you grew up in. It's not about what school you go to, your race, whether you're middle class or lower class. These are not the most important factors about you. most important thing about you this morning is who you are in Jesus Christ. That is where you get your identity. Jesus is where you find your worth. It's no matter what anybody else thinks about you, no matter what anybody thinks about where you work or what you do for a living, the most important thing about you is Christ Jesus, because he is what defines, he is who defines who you now are. But Jesus also now gives you purpose for your life. He now sends you out with a new mission or a new idea about what life is supposed to be like. He gives you your purpose. And so no longer does Jesus just define who I am. He gives me direction for what I now do. And so both of these, whether it's your identity or your purpose, they fall under the category of what we could call lordship. Lordship. Jesus is Lord. And we've been going through this, this same section of Scripture now for 3 weeks. And if you read through it, okay, if you read through it, I want you to maybe do this on your own time later. I want you to notice how many times Paul makes the mention of the word Lord or Master here. And so when he says masters here in chapter 4, verse 1, it is the same word that he would use for the Lord Jesus. It's the same thing. He wants to make it clear to all of God's people that Jesus is Lord of everything. And so he is Lord of your marriage. It is no longer just your marriage, okay? It's not just me and my wife. Jesus commands everything that I am to be as a husband and father in my home. My children are not just mine. Little people in my house that I have rule and sway over and nobody else can say anything to me, I live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he also wants us to know that when we go into our workplaces, we might be an employer or an employee, but while we are there, Jesus is Lord over my job. He is Lord over my employer. He is truly my employer, and I am his employee. So Jesus is Lord over everything. I belong to Jesus. I get my worth from him, and now every role I have is carried out as a servant of Christ. Being straightforward, I am called in the Bible a slave of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I am yours. Anything you want me to do, command it. I am under your authority. That's the way we are supposed to respond to Christ. We know that he is not a mean and harsh master. He is gentle with his people. And whatever he commands us to do, he's going to give us the ability to do. He's going to give us the grace that we need to carry it out. And so if you had a hard time a couple of weeks ago as we talked about husbands and wives, know that Jesus will give you the grace that you need to be the husband or wife that he has called you to be. And know that also it's sometimes really hard to parent your kids, isn't it? Sometimes it's really challenging. There's difficulty there. They're going to push back. And sometimes I just don't feel like being gracious and kind with them. Know that if Christ has called me to be this as my loving master, he will give me the grace to carry it out. And here this morning, no matter where you find yourself tomorrow as you're getting ready to go to work or throughout this week, your duties might be very difficult. You might think that your duties are very easy. Wherever you find yourself, know that Christ will give you the ability to do what he commands you in his word. That's what we call grace. And so he is Lord over everything. I am his loyal and joyful subject. And that lordship covers all. My place in the church, in the community, in my home, my marriage, with my children, as an employee, where I spend my free time, my leisure time, my vacation time. Jesus is Lord over all of it. He's Lord. And so the Colossian church, if you remember from our time here in this letter, they were being persuaded to put Jesus on the fringe, on the outside of who they were, their identity, and what they were called to be in Christ. And Paul is calling them to come back and put Christ as central to everything. So this issue of lordship is primary to Paul. He wants them to know that everything that is happening in the world today has Jesus at the center. And he's also central to everything in your salvation. Jesus is never to be put on the fringe. He is the king. So this means that Jesus will naturally affect the way that you approach your work. And so again, please don't let this slip through your mind this morning, in one ear, out the other, if you don't have a traditional job, because there is something for Paul to say, or there's something he has to say to everyone here. And I want to give you three things that are to be impacted in your work life because Jesus is Lord. And so because Jesus is Lord, these things should happen according to God's word in our workplace. Because Jesus is Lord, number one, your master is always watching you work. Your master is always watching you work. Look at verse 22. Verse 22. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So I think you got an idea of what Paul's addressing here, okay? You've probably been in the workplace. Maybe you've even been this person before, that when the boss is around or whoever's in authority is around, oh, you're getting after it, right? Oh, I'm a hard worker. As long as he can see me, I'm there working in due diligence. But as soon as he steps out of the room, I'm going to loaf. I'm going to do what I want to do. So as long as the master is around, I'm okay. I'm going to work hard, right? But when he steps out, doesn't really matter what I do. Like, we've all seen that somewhere, someplace before, maybe even experienced ourselves. And that's what Paul is saying, not by way of eye service as people pleasers. Not just when eyes are on you. That's not just when you work hard. You're supposed to work hard all the time because your master is Jesus Christ. And his eyes are always on you. You never do anything in secret. You're never truly alone, whether you're at work or you're at home. Christ is always watching you, and he is your master. So we should always put forth full effort for Jesus, because we want to be pleasing to him. He's our master. We don't just do things to impress other people. So that's what Paul says here. He calls it people pleasers, right? We don't just do things to make ourselves look good to others. We're not just trying to please other people. We're trying to please the Lord Jesus. And so we are not to just work hard when the boss is in the room, because our boss is always in the room. And you've probably heard this before, but it's true. Your true self is who you are when no one else is looking. Who are you when nobody else is around? That is our integrity. That is our character. We don't need somebody watching us to give us integrity. We should have it when no one else is looking. And so for the Christian, because all of your work is done for the Lord Jesus, you know that he always sees you. And you always want to have integrity before him. You always want to have good character before him, because that is what is pleasing to God. And so we aren't alone. Jesus is always with us. And so this doesn't just have to apply to those who are at work. Some of you all are in school. And so every test that you take, you know, some of you stay-at-home moms, every diaper that you change, every floor that you mop, all of it is done under the loving and watchful eye of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees everything, and he deserves full effort in all that we do, because he is not unkind. He's not driving us with a whip. He is not harsh. Jesus is kind and loving and compassionate. He sees what you do, and he wants you to do it with all of your effort. And so again, he's only going to call you to do the things that he's going to give you the grace to accomplish. And so if God is calling you to change diapers in the middle of the night, or to give medicine to a sick child in the middle of the night, know that he is pleased when you do that with all of your heart and not with resentment. The same for you all when you show up at work tomorrow, whether it's 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, and you're not looking forward to being there, okay? Know that Christ is watching you. And your boss may very well be unkind or unfair, but know that Jesus is who you really are working for. And so it's not based on how well your performs, on how you're going to perform. It's based on the fact that you have a Lord in heaven who loves you, cares for you, and gave his life for you, and you are called here to work for him. We get ourselves in trouble sometimes. We get ourselves in trouble sometimes when we take on more than what Christ is calling us to. Now, Christ has gifted you in a particular way to do a job somewhere in his world. You're supposed to bloom where you're planted, but sometimes we get ourselves in trouble when we either take on too much responsibility or when we get lazy and don't do what Christ has called us to do. And so remember that he is going to provide for where he has gifted and called you. He's not called you to too much. He's not called you to more than you can handle. He's going to give you grace. And just know that Christ sees us. When we're being lazy or we're loafing somewhere and burning up time where we're supposed to be working, the Lord is not pleased with those things. He's not pleased. He's called us to work hard and represent him as hard workers here on the earth. And so what is it? What is it that God has gifted you to do in this world that he has made? This is what we need to be helping our young people to learn about. I know often we harp on our kids about doing well in school, about doing well in math and science and all these things. They're all very good things to learn. But we also need to be asking them, what is it that you love to do? What do you love to do? Christ has made you in such a way where you will thrive doing something. He's gifted you to be unique in the world. We want them to find out who it is that God has made them to be and help them to do that in their life, their daily livelihood. They don't have to just go into some job and just gut it out each and every day. Some of them do. Maybe that's what Christ calls us to, you know? But some people just need to be taught from a very early age. It's not just about the grades that you make in school. God has made you unique in some way. Find out what that is and go and do that. Use that in the workplace, and you will be full of joy and excited about your job each and every day, no matter who your master is on earth. Because your master in heaven has made you unique. So work does not just have to be a drudgery. I hope many of you all sitting here, as you think about going to work in the morning, I hope that you're not dreading it. I know some of you are, okay? I know some of you are. But you need to know that you have a kind master. You have a kind master, and he's going to provide for you when you're at your workplace tomorrow. Because there are no mundane tasks when done for Jesus. He gives value to everything. And he graciously rewards those who work for him. He's going to reward you. So that leads us into the second thing. Because Jesus is Lord, you should always give full effort. You should always give full effort. Look at verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily, from the heart. Want to give effort. You're motivated from the inside. As for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. This gets at what motivates you to work every day. Some people think, you know, I don't get paid enough. I don't get paid enough. And so because I don't feel like I get paid enough, I'm only going to put forth as much effort as I think I'm getting paid for. You ever done that before? Or maybe you've heard that from somebody else. I think I should get paid such and such dollars, but because I get paid down here, that's the only effort that I'm going to give them. Or I'm just a volunteer. I'm just a volunteer, and because I volunteer, I don't really have to try that hard. They're lucky they get whatever they get from me, right? You know, we've probably all heard some of those things before, but that's not the way it is with Christ. Because Jesus is our master, the reward that we're seeking actually comes from him. And I'm not trying to minimize what a person gets paid. I know bills have to get paid for. I know food has to get in someone's mouth. But regardless of what you get paid, God is calling everybody here to work heartily from the inside. Be motivated not by all the circumstances around you, not by your pay, being motivated from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he will give you a reward. And the reward that he gives to you is far beyond what we deserve. Okay? What Jesus is going to give us is far beyond any wage that could ever get paid to you by an earthly master. He will reward his people. And so he is our motivation. We have an inheritance, Paul says, with him. And I think that he was smiling when he wrote this. When he wrote this, he knew that slaves receive no inheritance. So I could have titled this, if I was preaching this in the first century, I would have titled this, because the first two were New Life at Home. This also would have been New Life at Home for the people that first heard this, right? So slaves and masters were in the same house. It wasn't like everybody trucked off to work every day and was a slave. No, they lived in the same home as their masters did. And so Paul, when he writes this, he knows that the masters are going to be hearing it, and he knows that slaves are going to be hearing it, and the slave receives no reward or inheritance from his master. But he knows the slave who hears this actually has a reward with Jesus, far beyond anything that his earthly master is going to give to him. He has no estate or inheritance from the man that he works for, but he does from God. And he wants him to be motivated by that he has an inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Jesus has earned for him, he will also receive. And again, it is beyond what he could ever be paid by the man that he worked for in the first century. And so because you belong to Jesus, you'll receive what he has. No matter what value society places on your job. Some of you all may work in very very established, well thought of professions. And many of you all here this morning do not. Now, society places very little value on the work that you have, but you need to know that it is all valuable to Jesus, and you work for Him and work ultimately for His reward. When your identity is rooted in what you do, when your identity is rooted in what you do for a living, you're naturally going to feel small or of little value when you get paid like it. So don't equate your value in life with how much you get paid for your job, whether it is much or whether it is little. So again, your identity is rooted in Jesus. He gives you your identity, and you are worth much to Him. So much so that He gave His life for you. But that's how our system works out in the world, isn't it? So the jobs that are thought well of, so if you have great influence in the world, or you think much of your job, generally speaking, you're probably getting paid very well for it. But not with Christ. Christ's system works differently. All work has value to Him, because all work is necessary for human flourishing. God cares about the people in the world that He has made, and so all work matters. And so whether it is a farmer out there raising cows, okay, that nobody even thinks about. Nobody's even thinking about that guy out there raising the cows that gets milk to you in the store. I go across the street just about every day and buy milk at Rite Aid. I'm not thinking about how it got there. I'm not thinking about the truck driver that brought it in there to me, or the farmer that was out there milking the cows in some way, but that milk just arrives at the store. That is Christ using all the various professions to take care of the people that He made. I know that nurses are in this room, okay? People who are nurses, they are taking care of people each and every day. God cares about what they do because they are caring for the human body, people that He loves. You may be mopping a floor, cleaning a house, or something like that. You need to know that your work has value to Christ, because cleanliness is good for our health. God cares about human flourishing, and all work that is done with integrity and for the human good has value to the Lord. And so please know this morning that your worth and what you do is not based on how much money you make. It is based on how you do it from the heart for your Lord, who truly is your master and will give you a reward. So everyone plays a part in providing people with what they need. And each should work equally hard, because they all work for the same person and all are working for the same inheritance from Him. A few years back, I met a lady who cleaned a wealthy family's house. She did this each and every week. I don't know what she got paid, and I can imagine it probably wasn't a whole lot, but she worked like she had a great reward coming from somebody. And if you asked her why it is that she works as hard as she does, she says, "I do everything for Jesus. I clean this house for Jesus." That lady sang, and everything she did, it didn't matter what she was cleaning, if she was cleaning a toilet, working in the kitchen, doing somebody else's laundry. Remember, she's doing this for somebody else. This isn't even her own home. She's taking care of somebody else's kids. She sang and was delighted in everything that she did, and she was very upfront, "I work for the Lord Jesus." That's how we have joy in our workplaces, when we know truly who it is that we work for. He was her motivation, and it came from the heart. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And so, Christians, we should be the best of workers in whatever we do, in any field, because our motivation is not dependent on our circumstances. That's not our motivation. Jesus is our motivation. It's not our wage. It's not our employer. It's not the people that you work with. Though I know all of those things make it a better environment for you to work in. You still should go in each and every day representing the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel through how hard you work for your Lord. Because according to verse 24, we serve the Lord Christ. So whenever you wake up and get ready to go in the morning, that's what you need to be thinking about tomorrow. When I'm going into whatever government building or whatever hospital or whatever home that you're working in, I'm serving Jesus, and He is good to me, and He is going to give me a reward. I have a great inheritance coming from my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lastly, because Jesus is Lord, everyone deserves justice and fairness. Chapter 4, verse 1. This is addressed particularly to masters or slave owners in Paul's time. We can make it to employers today who oversee the work lives of others. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And we need to realize when Paul wrote this, this doesn't sound crazy to us, okay? But in Paul's day, this would have been a huge step. Okay? He's addressing masters and saying, guess what? Treat these people with justice and equity. I know they're lesser than you in society, but in God's eyes, they are equal with you. Again, you are one common people. You have, just because you're the master here, does not mean that you have favoritism with God. He is not partial toward one over the other. He looks at you all the same, regardless of what your role is. And so, masters, treat them with justice and equity, because you have a master in heaven who will treat you with justice and equity. He's going to give to you according to what you give. So take care of that slave that is in your home and give him what he is due, and do not withhold anything from him. And so if this morning you are a person who oversees the work life of someone else, whether you're the boss, you're the head of a floor, you're the head of something, whatever job you have, you need to know. Let's just say it's even with parents, okay? Again, so as a parent, I'm in the house, I have authority over my kids. And so it could start to infect my mind that in some way God likes me more or has favoritism with me because I have sway over these children. But I need to make sure I remember that in God's eyes, we are both created in His image. God loves us all equally in that home, okay? And I'm supposed to take care of them and show kindness to them and fairness and equity in all the discipline that I give them. This is the same with our workplace. If you oversee other people, know it is pleasing to God for you to take care and to notice and have compassion on those who are under your authority. This is pleasing to the Lord. So everyone deserves justice and fairness. Those who have authority do the gospel injustice. They do the gospel injustice when they mistreat those under their leadership. And those who are weak in the world do the gospel disservice when they are lazy in their jobs. We all need to honor the Lord. So just as all work has value to God, so every person has value to God. And just because you have a position of authority in this life or in this season you find yourself in, it doesn't mean that you're more favored to God than the rest. And just because you find yourself in a service or a profession that is not as honored in the world, you don't need to think that it means that you are overlooked by God in the world. He sees it all, and He's going to honor those that work hard for Him. Now, we've spent 4 weeks talking about how who we are in Christ is supposed to make a difference in practical life. Those who are being made more like Jesus should begin to act more like Jesus in every aspect of life. So no matter where you find yourself this morning, okay, no matter where you find yourself, you need to know that the gospel has application to you. It's supposed to change us from the inside out. Homes, work, community, volunteer, whatever it is, the gospel makes a difference in how you interact with other people. It reaches into our churches. It reaches into our churches. It changes the way that we talk to each other. Remember, we're going to bear with one another, put up with one another, forgive one another, acting so much different than the world around us because heaven has broken into the world that we now live in. Well, heaven is breaking into your workplaces as well. And know that as you have integrity and carry yourself like this, wherever you work, there are going to be people that watch you. They're going to wonder what it is that you live for. You're not living for that money. Obviously, you're not living for the money, right? It's not all about the power to you anymore. What is it that makes you different when you go to work? You work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they need to know that. And that bears witness to the gospel wherever it is that God has placed you. You know what? We also need to hear one other thing. Sometimes we think that we're not in the right place, okay? This is not what we've been called to do by God. Well, you need to know that if you're working in a particular place right now in this season, apparently that's where God wants you. And He wants you to represent Him well. And so as we go out of this place, we're scattering all over the city of Buffalo, representing Christ in workplaces. No matter where that is, know that you are honoring the Lord with the way that you carry yourself in your workplace. And you're doing the gospel a good service as you have integrity and work hard wherever it is that God has placed you. And maybe, just maybe, it'll give you an opportunity to share Jesus with someplace. Could be in your schools, too. I don't want to overlook that, or in your homes. God has placed you wherever He wants you to represent Him well. Because everything that you do today, everything that you do today can be an act of worship if it's done for the Lord. Worship is not something that we just come into this building and do for 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. It is singing that is turned into worship because it is done for Christ. And so all the rest of your life is like that. If it is done for Christ, it is an act of worship. And so this morning, will you serve Jesus in your school? Wherever He has placed you in this school, in this city, will you serve Him there by working hard and doing the best that you possibly can for Christ? Will you serve Him in your workplace? Will you serve Him in your home as you're a parent or as a child? Will you make sacrifices? Will you make sacrifices in your marriage that represent the Lord Jesus? You're going to sacrifice like Jesus has sacrificed for you. The gospel makes an impact on practical, everyday living. And everything is done in the sight of the Lord Jesus. We need to be living for Him. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You, God, that You care about how we go about our business at work. And so when each person wakes up in the morning, maybe it's this afternoon somebody's going to go into work, please keep it on our minds, Lord, that we work for Jesus, that we will not be lazy, we will not be time wasters, that we're going to work hard, God, no matter what we get paid right now. Because we find our value not in our wage, we find our value in Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for saving us and calling us to this new life. And may we represent You well out in the world that You have made, God, bringing You more and more glory in the city of Buffalo. And Lord, scatter us out there with the gospel. And I pray, God, that every man, woman, and child in this region will have an opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ because we were out in Your world on conscious mission for You. God, send us out and bring in a harvest of people, Lord, for the glory of Christ. And we ask it in His name. Amen.